We are back with another edition of Wonder Woman of the Week. Like I've been saying all along, all throughout the course of March is Women's History Month. And as you can see, each week that's gone on, I've been highlighting different women in my life, different women that I know, putting a little spotlight on them, highlighting what they're doing, what they're all about, what they got going on. And it's been real personal with a couple of the guests I've had to start off the week. Last week, the person who I put the spotlight on as well, gave their flowers to, going to keep continue the train. The train keeps rolling, so we're back again. And once again, I have another special guest, very special. This person, you know, I've been telling people all along, people don't listen to me because, you know, they see pictures and whatnot. I got big sisters. I got big sisters in my life. And, you know, they've meant so much to me growing up because obviously you're in a household. I got one big brother, but spending time with my sisters, you know, gives you a different perspective on life. I got friends who have sisters, younger sisters, older sisters. But when I can say I got my own sisters who I can rely on, depend upon, it means a lot to me. So for this edition of Wonder Woman of the Week, I have one of my big sisters. She don't want me to mess up her name, so I make sure I won't do it. Michelle Harris, formerly Michelle Lewis, but Michelle Harris. Big sis.
How's it going, Mikey?
See, a Mikey name. You know, I'm going to let it slide because the people don't know me as Mikey, but big sis.
I know for years you've been asking us when we were going to call you Mike, and it's just never going to happen.
So, you know what? And I've accepted it. Even though I've done grown past all of y'all, I'm taller than everybody now and the whole fam. I'm going to let the Mikey name stick, but welcome. Welcome to Double M.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you on. You are this week's Wonder Woman of the Week. And when I sat down and was trying to go through, who can I have on? And you know, a lot of different people came to mind. And I feel like you and I had just had a conversation earlier that day when I was thinking about who should I have on for this segment. And I said, you know what? Why not have Michelle on the show? Why not? You know, you guys have seen me doing podcasts over the years, you know, pumping out videos, doing my little thing. And, you know, I said, this is someone who's obviously important in my life. This is someone who means a lot to me. And not only all of those things, but you also got amazing things going on in your life as well. So I said, she would be a perfect guest to have on. So I appreciate you being here with me and receiving your flowers, getting the spotlight and just highlighting who you are. So thank you very much.
I'm honored.
But let me make sure we get the title right. And if I'm wrong, please correct me. Attorney Michelle Harris.
That's one of my titles.
Yes. Ooh, okay. So I'm so sorry. Please give the people and myself the correction of your title.
Yeah, so I am an attorney, and I've been an attorney for 11 years in both Massachusetts and Connecticut. But I am also currently doing Title IX compliance at a university in Rhode Island. So I'm also attorney / Title IX coordinator.
Wow, big things for sure. You have a job where I think, you know, growing up, kids are saying, oh, when I grow up, I wanna be a doctor. I wanna be a teacher. I wanna be something. You have one of those jobs where kids, I think from a young age, when they start understanding things in this world, say, when I grow up, I wanna be a lawyer. And I want to ask you, and this is something that, you know, we never necessarily talked about, but what kind of inspired you to go down that route? Was that something that's always been in your mind from a young age? That's something that came about later on? How did that, you know, plan start to really formulate in your head?
Well, I think the family always used to joke around that I'd be a good lawyer because I do nothing but argue.
Oh, yeah.
And so when I was in college, I did an internship at a law firm in downtown Boston, absolutely loved it. And so it's kind of always been in the back of my mind. I mean, I initially wanted to be, I wanted to teach. So that's what I really wanted to do. But I think a lot of people were just kind of like edging me to go to law school. So after my internship, I was kind of sold. And so I applied. I went to Northeastern Law, graduated, and then practiced law for 11 years after that.
Now, was there ever a point along that journey where you said, I maybe want to pivot back to my initial dream or goal of maybe getting into teaching? Or once you knew that you was locked in on this route of going into law, it was set in stone?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I hated law school. I want to say it was like my first year, probably right after my first year, I was like, I do not like this. I do not want to be a lawyer. But I was already in so much debt. So I was like, I might as well just finish. So I finished. And I mean, I think that like life takes you on so many journeys as you get older. And so it was kind of the right. So even though I'm still an attorney, it was like the right time to pivot into something else. So then that's why, you know, decided to go into a field that is still related to the law. But not actually practicing. Yeah, very early on, I was like, this is not for me.
But you stuck with it and pushed through.
I did.
You know, it's continued to open doorways for you and have you advance in different ways in life. One thing that I always ask people, and I know this for myself, but always curious for other people, people aim to have a job where obviously it's putting good money in your pocket, but at the same time, it's bringing you joy or happiness or something along those lines of like, you can wake up. And I mean, yeah, people don't want to wake up to go to work after a good night of sleep or whatnot, but at least you know you're going somewhere where like, so, okay, I'm happy here. I'm comfortable here. Is that how you feel as you've, you know, continue to march down this road of, you know, attorney and then other things that opened up for you?
Yeah. I mean, there were definitely certain things that I did, certain practice areas that didn't give me fulfillment. But I would say that I did some court appointed work for a few years. So I owned my own firm for a few years and I did some court appointed work.
I remember those early years.
Right.
Yep, I remember downstairs, it was off limits after a while. You turned off.
Exactly. That was my office, my space. I kicked all of y'all out when y'all wanted to play your video games. Nope. Yeah, so so I was doing some work in the juvenile system for the boys specifically that were kind of going back out into the community. So I did some legal work there, and that was very fulfilling. I did some child requiring assistance work. Can you hear that? That's my 3-year-old. yeah, so I did some work with child requiring assistance. So children that were truants or runaways and the like, where parents just needed some extra support. And so I actually represented the children in those cases, trying to get them back on track. And I think that work was definitely the most fulfilling work that I've done throughout my career.
Well, as long as you know that there's something that you feel this was fulfilling, this is something that made you feel like you were actually doing something on a positive note, that's important because, you know, me being an educator, I look to have that as well. You know, I don't obviously just want to go in to make the money and go home, which is good. It's good to make the money. And then, you know, you're living somewhere comfortably, but you also want to know that you're doing something that has some type of impact. And it sounds like you found that early on with the work you were doing, working with some youth.
No, absolutely. And I think that translates into what I'm doing now. So Title IX is, you know, preventing sex discrimination and sexual harassment in K through 12 and in higher ed, anyone that's getting federal funds. And so I think that I'm also doing very valuable work now making sure that the university that I'm working for, that we're in compliant with the law, that we're making sure that all of our students kind of succeed, even if it is that they go through, you know, some traumatic experiences. So I think that that's definitely something that I care about, making sure that, you know, yes, I like, you know, the money, the benefits, and all of that. But it's definitely rewarding work.
Now, what do you feel was the major pivot for you? Because obviously you said, yes, you're still an attorney. You still have that in your back pocket. But what kind of pushed you into, okay, let me see what this is all about and kind of, you know, steer in that direction?
My family, I'm wanting to be closer to home. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't live in Boston anymore.
So and we miss you.
Yeah. I miss you all too. Trust me. You know, I don't live in Boston anymore. So it was just one of those things where I was doing all of this commuting back and forth to court, where sometimes with traffic, it was taking me 3 hours to get to court in the morning and having to leave extremely early. And it just didn't make sense, especially having a small child. And to be honest, I refuse to take another bar. I don't want to take another bar. I feel like I've been practicing for way too long to have to do that. And so that's why I was like, let me see if I could find a good marriage. And I feel like I did, where it was, you know, I have the education piece of things, because I do a lot of, you know, education where I'm at. And then also the legal side of things, where I also have to be abreast of, you know, all of the laws and regulations and all of the changes that are going on. So it was family that pushed the change, but I think it really worked out in the end.
So we could definitely have viewers, listeners right now who maybe want to go down the route of being an attorney. You know, seems like, so for some people, seems like a cool job. Could I do it? Probably not. Because me arguing, I can't keep a straight face. I start laughing, smile. It wouldn't work out for me. But for others out there who maybe have that, you know, that goal, that passion of maybe going down that route of going into law and becoming an attorney, coming out of high school, going into law school, like what is some of like some initial early advice you would give somebody who wants to go down that path similar to you?
I would say first, you know, do your research. Talk to people, make sure that it's something that you want to do. Like, it is a huge investment, not just with money, but also time. You know, having to stay up all hours of the night drafting motions and oppositions, like it's a lot. And then if it is something that you want to do, you know, just stay focused. It's difficult, and there's a lot of people, there's a lot of lawyers out there. And so a lot of, especially when I graduated, there were more lawyers than there were jobs. And so people had to hang their own shingles and start their own law firms. And, you know, that's something that people have to consider in terms of, you know, the job market and what it is that they want to do. So I would say, do your research, talk to other attorneys. Get a mentor. Oh my gosh, I wish I had a mentor when I was young. I feel like mentors are so invaluable. So find a mentor, even if it's, you know, someone that you don't really know, but you want to get to know. Just send them an email, send them a LinkedIn invite, a Facebook invite, see if they want to, you know, meet up for coffee. Because networking and getting to know people, like, that's really where it is. That's how you get kind of all of these doors opening for you.
Very true. Networking is huge. You know, I wish I had known to network more, even my later years of high school, early years of college. It's, networking is not something I picked up till probably once I really found, you know, what my real goals and passion were, you know, midway through college. But I wish I was deep into networking long before then. But I still feel blessed with where I am, where I'm at right now. So I can't even be mad about that. But I want to shift gears a little bit. You know, obviously, everything you're doing work-wise is great. But let's talk about family a little bit, because we've been close for years. I like to tell people, when it comes to you, your brother, your sister, well, how long have you known them? Listen, I feel like the day I was born, y'all was there, like in the hospital. And it's just been my early fondest memories. It's just spending time with you and the family, and, you know, the love that y'all given me over the years, vice versa. It's been amazing. And obviously our parents are close. Our moms are like best friends. Me and your brother, that's my brother till forever and ever. That's big bro. Your sister as well. The rest of the family, I could go on and on, but I want to ask you a little bit about your upbringing, because we always hear this thing about the oldest child gets X, Y, and Z in life. The youngest child's the baby, gets treated like the baby. You're the middle child. Did you ever feel, or maybe you older now, you can look back and say, oh yeah, I fell into that category of I was the middle child. I dealt with middle child things. Do you look back now and say that you definitely fell into that middle child, you know, quote unquote, whatever comes with that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the funny thing is that I always like start with talking about baby pictures, because my sister had a million one baby pictures. And then after I was born, you saw a few pictures of her and me. And then when my brother was born, there was a million and one pictures of him and then all three of us. But then when it comes to like when I was born, I'm always like, where are my baby pictures? And I could probably point to like two, jeez, maybe three. And that third one was probably with my godfather. And so like that's kind of like my first thought when I think of like when I think of, you know, being the middle child. And it's, I mean, in everything, I was the one that got in trouble the most. I got the most licks. Oh my gosh, I got the most licks from everybody. life was not fair at all. So I would say, yes, like birth order and all of that, it's real.
Real. Yeah, I think my brother would probably say the same in terms of the way I got treated. Because, you know, being the baby, I guess maybe I could get away with a lot more things as the baby. And then my brother probably felt a type of way because of that. But birth order, that stuff is real. Only child, middle, oldest, all of that stuff is real. But aside from that, are there things that you take away from your childhood in terms of like what your parents instilled in you then, that, you know, still ring true today with how you, you know, how you go about motherhood on your own and how you're raising your daughter and whatnot? Do things, you know, still resonate with you?
Absolutely. I mean, my, you know, parents were traditional Trinidadian parents. It was all about discipline. It was all about education. It was about, you know, doing what you're supposed to do. And so I think that growing up, especially being the middle child, where everyone expected me to do the wrong thing, I was always trying to live up to their standards. And I mean, with my daughter, she's only three. And I mean, it's funny because like, there's certain things that she'll do that I'm like, I can see why my parents gave me as much licks as they did. But like, I don't have it, you know, in me to actually hit her. So it's, so I feel like there are certain things that, you know, I do differently, but, you know, the discipline, the education, saying the good morning, the good day, the good night, you know, making sure that she has that respect. You know, you don't have to like people, but make sure that when you walk into a room that you're saying good day to everybody. So I think there's like things like that, that I definitely take with me and try to instill in her.
And it's so funny how you say that, because, you know, you know, similar to you, my parents, to traditional Caribbean parents. And the little things, like you said, walking into a room and saying good morning or good day to people, that's such a lost art in today's society. It does not exist the way it did years ago. And I mean, working at a school, you know, kids walk past me, walk into the door, walk into my classroom or whatnot, my gym, and won't say a word to me, won't even greet me. I'm like, where's the manners? Or they ask me to use a piece of equipment and I can't even get a thank you, or may I please use something like that. And it's not what it used to be. And the fact that you're saying like those things still ring true to you today, and you instill them in your daughter, or you try to instill them in your daughter with her being only 3 years old. I have that same mindset. And, you know, I think that's something we have in common. Where obviously I don't have children of my own, but being a teacher, I feel like I have about 300 kids of my own. And the same way you probably try to tell those things to your daughter, I try to. I mean, obviously I'm not those children's dad, I'm not their parent, but I try to do my best in terms of, if I can help put this, hammer these little things into your head when I have you from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the afternoon, you know, I'm gonna do my part, try to do my part. So, you know, I think that's something that just comes from, you know, our upbringing and what was instilled with us from a young age.
And she knows if she asks for something, and all I have to do is give her the look, and she'll be like, "Mommy, please."
No, it's true. So same type of things a little bit with my students. So I definitely feel where you're coming from. If I had to ask you, what's a crazy memory you have of me from a young age, what would come to the forefront of your head right now? A story, something that you remember I used to do, say, a situation. We've been through a lot. Trips, times at the house, sleeping, all we've been through so many different things. And please, this is my podcast. You can say, I don't mind. Just don't embarrass me too much.
Well, as a kid, I remember the banging of the head on the wall. I do remember that.
I knew that was coming.
Yes, that's probably my earliest memory. And then I would say the night that you left for Mandy's wedding and that whole trip. There were a lot of memories there when you snuck out the back door to come, just kind of hopped right in the van. Go ahead.
I said, that's the trip I became a man.
Right, exactly.
Now telling my parents, I'm leaving tonight. There's nothing you can do about it. Well, I didn't know if I was going to have a home when I got back.
But snuck right out the back door. Didn't look back. When you were co-pilot on that same trip, and, you know, our lives were in danger, but, you know, we made it through.
By the grace of God, woo, they guided us through those mountains. And
we made it through.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, Mikey, like, you have just always been there. Like, for every single, you know, family party, you know, cousins, aunts, you know, is Mikey coming? Or, you know, no one even has to ask. Like, you can just show up. And so I feel like you're in most memories that I have, because you're just such an integral part of our upbringing in our life. Yeah,
I mean, I'll say this, and I'll be completely honest, and I don't even know if I've ever shared this with y'all too much, but my family, aside from obviously my mom, my dad, my brother, like my cousins, we're kind of just spread out all over the place. Like, my cousins are spread out. I got cousins up in Rhode Island. I got cousins up in New York. Obviously, a lot of my cousins are still down in the islands. I got a few scattered around in Boston, but like, I don't have that many cousins around. I mean, a few that I've hung out with and whatnot, but like nothing as close as I've built and created with you and your family. You know, once I, got that opportunity to spend all the time I did with you all, y'all telling me, my dad talking about nieces and nephew, my mom, like y'all telling me about my family right down, Tacoma, like my family's right down there. My fam, that's the fam. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to hang out. So I want to spend the night. That's where I want to eat. Like, that's where I want to spend a lot of my time. Because, you know, not that I don't have love for my family and my cousins and whatnot, but like, obviously y'all are so close, walking distance, biking distance, whatever the case may be. Even before I was born, the family connection was already there. And then once I came about, Daniel being 2 years older than me, like it was just the connection. And I've always been grateful and thankful for y'all kind of bringing me in and accepting me, because at the end of the day, y'all didn't have to do that if you didn't want to. Like, even like, oh, he's not family. He's not blood related. Like, y'all didn't have to do that. But it meant so much to me from a young age. It still means so much to me today, even though, we're all spread out and older and doing our own different things. And we probably don't hang out as much as we used to. I have the little cookouts in the backyard and up till 3-4 in the morning playing poker and whatnot, listening to music, have a couple things to drink here. And even though we don't do that as much as we used to, it's still always love that I have for y'all and just everything y'all have done for me over the years. So, me saying thank you and I appreciate you isn't just for you, it's for all of y'all.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think that life would have been different if, you weren't around. And I think it all started when, anytime my grandmother was in the States and she'd watch us and she'd watch you. And I think that's where the bond started,
I
don't understand why you like cream of wheat the way you do, but
because your grandmother used to make it some type of way, and I don't even know how old I was, but I could still taste it if I think hard enough. And Kerry's the only one that can resemble what it tastes like when she makes it. That's why every time I go out to their house out in the boondocks, Kerry, please, if there's one thing you could do for me, make me some cream of wheat, please.
Such a weird request.
Nah, I love it. But yeah. Big sis, I want to thank you for spending some time with me. Like I said, March being Women's History Month, I want to spend time doing this series, highlighting some women in my life, especially women who've had an impact, whether it be in my life or just doing different things. And not only have you had an impact in my life, but you're also doing amazing things with the Title IX job that you have, and as well as being an attorney and the impact you've had doing that. So Double M definitely wants to give you your flowers and show you some love and some gratitude and appreciation for who you are and all that you do in this life, and continue to do much more as you aspire to do whatever you want to do moving forward. So thank you.
I appreciate it, and I appreciate you.
That's great to hear. Love you, sis. Love you for sure.
Love you too.
This has been Double M, another edition of Wonder Woman of the Week. I am Mike Nice. This is Big Sis Michelle Harris. Thank you for joining us. Continue to stay tuned in with us. I like the merch I got here. I really like this hat so much. But it's Double M to the Moon. I'll see y'all soon.